So we have the perfect day today to just really practice recognizing and appreciating awareness. Just appreciating, as Anam Thubten says, just enjoying being able to be aware of whatever it is that's happening, rather than needing to get involved in judging, liking, disliking, changing, evaluating. Just any moment to appreciate, recognize awareness. And why is it the perfect day? Because it's now. It's always the perfect day. And this is a perfect day. But also, maybe, finally, since it's the last full day of retreat, if there happens to be any lingering in the background, recognized or unrecognized view, or hoping that something finally really amazing and useful is going to occur that you can take home with you and feel like you didn't waste a week. Now today you can give that up. And that, as you will see, is a huge relief, because all that does, having some idea that we don't realize it, we keep trying to bend our experience to meet that, and all that gives us is discontent. But as soon as, this is all what we ever say, as soon as there's awareness of discontent, awareness is not discontent. So as we more and more just practice and learn to have confidence that this mindful awareness, this conscious awareness, is always available when we remember, as we have this time to explore it, a bit more confidence develops, so that the confidence just means in the more difficult times. And here we'll take little difficult to start with. So you're discontent because nothing's happening. And then, oh, awareness of discontent is like this. The discontent is not, the awareness is not discontent. We can explore that. And that's how the confidence comes with the difficult, that we trust that it's okay, even with this, to open, okay, it's like this now. Feel with the awareness. And more over time, that confidence gives us the trust that, as unpleasant or beautiful as an experience may be, awareness can know that, and there's that potential of that, just a moment of freedom, that moment of ease that's not contingent on the pleasantness or the unpleasantness of the particular experience that's arising. As long as our sense of self-worth, our sense of liking and disliking, of doing things going right, things going wrong, whatever, as long as it's contingent on arising experience, we're caught in the throes of samsara. Sometimes we'll like it, sometimes we won't, but we're always being thrown around by the dukkha, the first noble truth of being attached to that which is always changing, always changing. And so, but as I said, just that moment, oh yeah, discontent's like this. Enjoy the awareness, just enjoy we can be aware. So in that moment, that's right attitude comes in. Recognizing whatever's happening in the mind at that moment is another arising experience. And it just, you know, kind of a little window into that potential for ease, for peace, whatever it is that's going on. It's just a little window. Just, if you notice it, great. When we say, let me see it, that's gone. What's happening? Oh, wanting's happening. Appreciating the awareness is just whatever's happening. Oh, it's like this. Playing with that today. Exploring it. Just resting in it. Losing it completely. All of a sudden, you know, it's gone. You haven't noticed that you were in the dining room or eating or anything until you're standing in line to wash your dishes. So maybe you have the choice. Awareness of standing, pressure in the hands, pressure on the feet, sense of people around, or you can berate yourself for 45 minutes for having spaced out. Your choice. Which do we choose? It's kind of shocking which we choose. Sometimes even when we are aware of the choice, yeah, but I can't just be aware. That's just like a sissy way out. I really am needing to pick it up, do better, be more aware. Oh, aware of, no, that's nothing. I've really got to get down on myself. I've got to really blame myself. Then I'll feel so much better. Then I'm really doing the work. I can go back to my room feeling like total crap, you know, because I beat myself up because I wasn't aware. Then I'm meditating properly. You can make that choice if you choose. Awareness can notice, and it isn't first the mind making that choice. It's just a habit. It's just the habit of attention veering towards aversion, towards the habit of self-blame. Awareness of self-blame. Awareness is not blaming. Awareness is not averse. It's like that. And self-blame isn't personal. You really start to see whatever's arising in the mind, wholesome, unwholesome, result of previous conditions, nature, wise view. Learning to, in moments, have more confidence that that's available, more trust in that. It's the last thing I wanted to just mention. In terms of mindfulness, how we actually experience it in a moment, often, especially if we've been practicing in a way where with being with the breath, being with particular sensation, but mindfulness directed at one thing at a time, always, it gets connected with in a wholesome way with samadhi, with focus, you know, kind of a more directed. But then often, and I know I've experienced this in my past practice, and often people do, when they go home, they're thinking of mindfulness is always in their mind connected with this aiming and precision and kind of like one-pointed thing and think, well, how can I be mindful? Well, I'm doing the dishes and the kids crying in the other room and this and that's going on. And how can I just feel the subtle texture of the soap on my hands when all the stuff's going on? You know, it doesn't work. So that's only one aspect of mindfulness, a helpful one. So mindful, and we experience both. I just want to put them both out there. One isn't better than the other, but they're both ways are mindfulness. So one is this really is kind of precise. It doesn't have to be connected with striving, but it's just more particular. And sometimes when we're quiet in a sitting, it might be that you're aware just of sensation in the buttocks or the hand, and it doesn't seem a lot else arising. That's fine. It's not that you have to be open to everything, right? That's not what we're saying here. So sometimes mindfulness is precise. But there's also a quality that Utteja Nia talks about it a lot. I personally call it 360-degree mindfulness, where mindfulness is just more gentle, receptive, or we're not looking for, but it just naturally starts to include much more of what's going on in the environment. We've been talking about that. It's not a forced thing either, but learning to trust that that's also mindfulness, and that's very available all the time. As soon as we awareness, that's there. And they support one another. Just a little example, I just noticed the other day, making my breakfast, and I was, you know, it's what Joseph calls more or less mindfulness. You're kind of there. I mean, I know I'm making my breakfast. I wasn't thinking about something else, but it wasn't really that awareness, that mindfulness that's really 100% there with the experience. So I was doing what I was doing, and yeah, then it kind of tuned in, sort of. Oh, you're not really. And I let awareness just feel, just really connect with the feeling in my hands. Not driven in, but just really connect with the physical feeling of the hand pouring the tea. And the difference with this mindfulness where you're with one thing, but you're not trying to hold on to that one thing, but it's just anything, any experience that we connect with mindfulness opens us up to awareness of whatever's happening. So feeling the sensations in the hands, not looking for anything, but not holding to that. And just awareness just spreads out. Immediately became aware there's a whole little grumbling going on in the back in my mind that I hadn't really been aware of, you know? And as soon as I saw, oh, and I could feel how it was making me just feel like a little, you know, in the, to get up, and that was going on, I hadn't noticed it at all. And as soon as I just felt this, oh, grumbling in the mind and awareness, oh, that's funny. I thought it was kind of funny. Just like, you oh, look at that. And, it didn't go anywhere, but it just naturally spread out. And then I was, you know, aware of seeing and the sounds, and it just moves from there. Explore it. Explore it. I remember this example Sayadaw would often give for some reason the same ones. If you did I say this about brushing your teeth? Did I say that in here? I don't know what I said, wherever. So you imagine when you're brushing your teeth, and I've done many retreats where really being more precisely mindful or more limited mindful and brushing, like really just present, you know, really feeling all the sensations, you know. But then as if you're not limiting, like trying to just hold down, you don't try to open up, you just relax. Have we said relaxed, receptive awareness, feeling the sensations, suddenly aware of how tight the hand is, then noticing what's your other hand doing? What's your other arm doing? How are you standing? Are you straight up? Are you hunching over the sink? You're not thinking these things. It just comes in. Or you suddenly notice, oh, there's spots all on the mirror or whatever else is going on. It just comes in. Awareness receiving, awareness receiving. It's always available. And this, as we learn to recognize and trust it, is so available in activities in our life. We'll talk about that later today with the, you know, learning, working with awareness and speaking. But I just wanted to bring that in a little bit. And this gentle, receptive, more open awareness, for a while we may not trust it because, you know, we want some results because we don't trust it. And we don't get the results we want. I mean, we don't even know what results should be, but we know what we want, what I said at the beginning. We're not getting it, so we don't trust the whole thing. Throw it out. But you didn't throw it out. You're still here. Good. So we don't trust it at first, and then because we don't quite trust it, we start putting in more effort, right? Get more precise, get more this. Well, here we're talking about, you know, wise attitude, just noticing what's the quality in the mind. That's our practice. When effort comes in, awareness notices it. So we notice when there's clinging, we notice when there's wanting, we notice when there's aversion. Awareness notices, and then just watch. Awareness just watches how it does its job. We notice when the kilesas are not present, when there's interest, when there's collectedness, when there's joy, when there's calmness, when there's equanimity. So this gets with this relaxed awareness, not deciding what you should see, our awareness of what's happening gets more and more and more steady, more and more inclusive. So as we go through the day, just really getting in the habit of noticing what's going on in the mind. This is really the place that suffering arises and ceases, wisdom arises and ceases. So it's always interesting, always available. Okay, last thing, in terms of that, there's a sutta of the Buddha, the Majjhima. He's talking about two kinds of thought. I won't go into the whole sutta. But towards the end of it, he kind of describes these two ways of giving attention. And he uses the metaphor, of course, as a farming society, right? So he says, imagine there's like a cowherd, a shepherd out watching the cows. And in the rainy season there, when the crops are growing high and he has the cows, he really has to watch the cows carefully to be sure that they don't go into the crops and eat the crops, because that would be, you know, trouble and suffering for the farmer. It would also bring anger and hatred toward him and towards the cows. So he has to be quite aware, carefully tend the cows to keep them from doing that. And he's saying this is kind of like awareness of mindfulness in the mind when there's kilesa present. You're aware of it. You tend it carefully. You tend it with awareness. It doesn't mean you go out and smash the cow down to the ground, you know. You just tend it to keep it from causing more trouble, you know. So you're aware that there's striving, striving. Striving feels like this. Just watching how it acts with awareness without feeding it. He said, but then in the dry season, when there's no danger, the crops are all taken in, the cows can go where they want, then the shepherd can just relax in the shade, under a tree, at ease, and just be mindful of these cows. Relaxed, aware, just mindful of these cows. Whenever the wholesome is in the mind, steady awareness, wisdom naturally arises. We don't have to do anything, just aware, receive. When it's difficult, kilesa in the mind, we still don't have to do anything, but just a little more careful with the awareness. Oh yeah, there's wanting. Let's observe how it behaves. So just, that's all. So exploring. So We'll just continue with our awareness, which won't change at all, but just the objects will change as I stop talking, and you notice whatever the next thing arising happens to be. And just let whatever's obvious be received in awareness. You know, you don't have to look for something. Like when I stop talking, there's awareness of a physical vibrating energy. It just arises. You don't have to think what to do about it, what's next. Just awareness just sinking into, it's like this now. Awareness noticing. And quite naturally, whatever next arises. Just awareness receiving. Anam Thubten calls this, you know, just sipping the nectar of life. Whatever arises in this moment, sipping the nectar of life. May our practice together be a support for all beings to live with wisdom and compassion. So as you're going through the day to day and the other activities of our practice, bringing in awareness, just one thing that I find kind of fun and interesting is a way as we're moving through more active parts of the day. And we've mentioned it before, I'll just drop it in again, is we'll be getting more and more tuned in to including in the field of awareness, mental activity, the attitude in the awareness, the attitude towards what's happening, and just in general, whatever qualities arising in the mind, wholesome, difficult, kalesa, free of kalesa, but just noticing. As you're moving through the day, just noticing the choices we make and what's arising in the mind that gives rise to the motivation to do whatever. We've talked about that in terms of when you decide to go sit or to go walk. You know, just noticing what mental activity is happening. Is there wanting? Is there fear? Is there whatever? Is it just like a sense of wisdom? It just seems like this would be helpful. I don't mean saying all those things, but just noticing. So we've talked about that, you know, deciding to walk, deciding to sit, deciding to stop sitting. That's always an interesting one when we're not on a schedule. Just noticing why you stop sitting without making it right or wrong. But in other choices, moving around, you know, the mind is not personal unless we identify with it, making choices all day. You walk out, you put on your shoes. Do you put on the right shoe or the left shoe first? Just notice. I notice for me. You know, little things. You walk out and you're done. Do you turn right or do you turn left? Do you know why? Going into the dining room, you know, it's a big time. People, it's a lot going on there. But it's fun to watch. How does the mind choose where you sit when you're eating? You know, just does it, and there's all kinds of things. A memory of the nice seat I had the other day where I could see out and no one was around, and so there's a kind of a wanting, and you just notice that. Or you go in and you say, it doesn't matter to me because I'm above all of that. And so you just sit wherever, and you notice that. You go, oh, I don't want to be too close to people. I don't want someone sitting right across from me. No, I'll sit on the corner. Just noticing that. It's fun. It's like a game. You're just noticing, but we also are getting more and more familiar, more at ease with just noticing what's arising in the mind, you know, not taking it so personal, but also then that's accessible, that wisdom, when we do have to make some kind of life-shaking choice, like, do I get up from the sitting? Do I walk or not? But at least know why we're doing it and keep noticing the effect. So just watching stuff like that through the day. Many choices are being made all the time. We don't have to identify with all of them, but just watch. So that kind of helps to spread out, strengthen the steadiness of the awareness and in our active meditation, which will be the rest of our life. And later in the day, and I'll talk about the schedule in a moment, but just in this same vein, where it says on the schedule, you know, beginning to just some tips about awareness of speaking, we're really taking it in this vein. Sayadaw Tejaniya talks a lot about bringing this steady awareness to speech. And granted, it's one of the more difficult areas, so much going on. But we can certainly continue to explore awareness in this area. It gets more possible. So when that's at around 3 today, just please come to that because it really is very important tips, continuation of this practice, just this awareness, accessibility of awareness in life, you know. Yes, I'll talk about that schedule in a minute. But first, I guess we have some time, because there's no groups today, just a quiet morning since there's stuff happening in the afternoon. If anyone who hasn't had the opportunity, if you have any questions about your practice, something that's going on or something that's unclear, if you haven't had the opportunity to ask, yeah.
Thinking about states of mind, I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about grief.
About grief,
not
yeah.
Personal, not only personal grief, but just the grief at the condition of the earth.
Right, grief. Yeah.
The suffering that's happening in the world.
Talk about grief.
And any thoughts that you might share about that
grief about, not personal, but everything in the world, which is huge. But when we're talking about really being with states of mind in our experience, grief is a very profound and strong, both difficult in some funny way, beautiful in a way, because it opens into compassion if you really be with it. And it's a human experience. But with grief, as with anything, in terms of bringing awareness to it, what we bring awareness to is the actual experience of grief, not the thing that we think it's about. Do you see what I mean? So, like a grief, a personal grief, say, can touch, grief can come up. It's just as vast grief, whether we say it's about whatever person, I don't want to touch anything personal, or about the horrors going on in the world. The grief we can feel as grief, and say a personal one starts, but the grief opens up, it may come up in the mind, all the things that are going on in the world, but and it's not about that those things aren't horrible, but it's about, as with any strong emotion in terms of practice, our awareness is being with, just opening into grief is like this. And if, and as our mind does, goes more and more into the story, whether it's the horrors in the world and what's happening in the earth or our personal grief and endless, going into the story is actually, the attention is moving away from the immediacy of the experience and into content, which actually increases increases the grief, or grief or greed or anything. It kind of works like that. And that's where it can get completely overwhelming. Completely. I mean, if I start, and I'm not going to name things because we can all start, it goes from, in the world, it goes from one to the other to the other. The mental mind, thinking mind, can't hold all of that. And it tried to enfold that all into, I mean, it's impossible, you know, we can't hold it. But what's actually happening in this moment? And that's the radical nature of awareness. And our thinking mind might not like what I'm about to say or agree, but what's actually happening is the physical mental experience we call grief, right? Can we, and it's intense. It's in, when it's really strong, it's one of the hardest ones because it's unpleasant, we don't like it. But now I speak from personal experience. When I can open into, oh, grief is like this. This is where the confidence in awareness I was speaking about before is really comes into play. Because I personally have confidence, and I still have to remember it because I can get lost in the story, whatever. That can't be, I mean, there's plenty of good stories to get lost in, and they're not about that they're not true. But when I'm in that story, it's just whipping up the feeling. It's not helping. My sitting there doing that is not helping anybody in the world, me or anyone else. It's not helping me see clearly. I'm just getting more worked up and out of touch. But when I trust, oh, right, grief is like this, I have confidence that can just drop into the feeling, the tightness. The thoughts are part of it. You know the thoughts are there, but not letting that be the forefront and feel it. And it can be, when we say it can get too overwhelming at times, when we say refresh the awareness, not just that it's strong or unpleasant. Sure, it's that. And it can come close to feeling, I can't. But that's okay. That just that close to feeling I can't is okay, because that's kind of pushing our boundaries where we would have bounced away, you know. Sometimes it can wash over. We can just really keep being in sensation, grief, sadness. When it's really too much is when the awareness just starts going away and the grief or the strong, any strong emotion, it's not just grief, just takes over and you're just spinning and you can see you're not aware. That's when to consciously shift your awareness to something else. And this is really helpful. I find this so helpful in life, dealing with the news and dealing with my relationship to stuff that's going on. Absolutely. I can, something can happen, it can really trigger grief, anger, I can be with it. Then I can see when I just start spinning. The thoughts are just spinning and the whole thing's getting bigger and bigger. It's, and the thought could be, well, you have to think about this. You know, you can't just, you know, abdicate your responsibility and blah, blah. You know, it's got nothing to do with that. Because I'm not, you know, when I can come back and be with the actual experience, then the mind isn't in reactivity. It isn't in negativity. I can make appropriate decisions if there's something to do. But if I'm just lost in spinning, as I said with the news, I'll really shift the attention. Stop reading the news for that moment or whatever you're doing. Go and I might just do walking meditation in my house. I might go do the dishes, go do some activity where I can refresh the awareness by being present with movement. Do you see what am I making sense at all? So this is, you know, a huge part of our practice. And it's not just grief, it's any strong, difficult emotion. It's just my experience. Oh yeah, way in the back there. Is that your experience, that when you were trying to enjoy awareness, it generated craving? Do you mind if I ask you, because I just like to be... What was your mind doing in trying to enjoy awareness? Was it thinking about it, or can you describe what was doing?
In the moment,
yeah,
that I was having, I wasn't enjoying the awareness, I was enjoying the stillness.
Okay.
But...
So that's fine. Okay. Okay, so that's why I ask, because this is a thought you're having. It's not actually from your experience, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and you stopped and looked and to check, and that's great. Because so I'm going to say something about it, but just to see first, you know, the mind's going to generate, how can I do this without getting into craving? And how can I be with something pleasant without getting into craving? And sometimes people think practicing the Buddha's way means you can't go near anything pleasant because craving might come up, you know? Really? That's sort of where your question comes, right?
I was there.
Yeah.
It was despairing.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Craving's going to come up. So... Susie reminds me I say this sometimes, so I'll say it now. Big whoop, craving comes up. If you think you're going to get away from craving coming up, you need to find another realm to live in. So awareness notices, oh, craving's like this. Pleasant comes up. It's like awareness receiving whatever arises. We're not making a choice. So, but there'll be pleasant experience also when craving doesn't come up. Notice that. And when craving does come up, awareness noticing craving, the awareness isn't craving. How does craving act? How does it feel? Same as I was saying with grief. Maybe it's not as strong. You feel it. You notice the thoughts that come. You notice if it motivates action. You know, the awareness just keeps going with it. Awareness itself as an object is also an idea. Awareness isn't really an object, and it's not a self, and it's not an it. It's more activity, just the activity of knowing. And so there's not a sense of me appreciating the activity of knowing. Our mind will do that, and it's made some idea we're calling awareness an object, and there's a sense of me and craving. There's always a sense of me with craving. Awareness can notice that too. And the difference between when it's like that, and there's just this sense of, I mean, maybe enjoying is the wrong word. It's not me enjoying, but there's just this sense of, I don't know, just maybe it could be stillness or peace or ease, but... Like when I gave that example this morning of feeling my hands in the teacup and suddenly just noticing all these grumpy thoughts, awareness noticing it, there was a sense of, you could say enjoyment. I wasn't like, oh, I love it. Oh, isn't that, you know? You just appreciate the awareness more than engaged with the object. Maybe appreciate's a better word. I don't know. Did that talk to what you were thinking at all?
Yeah, it's helpful. Thank you.
And the big thing is don't be afraid of craving, because then we don't want to look at it. Just notice how it arises. Notice the conditions, how it behaves, how it goes away. It's going to come up, and it's just another arising experience, just like anything else. Just a sense of self comes and goes. You know, with awareness, you don't have to be afraid of anything that's arising. Just notice it. Notice it. Thanks. Thanks for your question. That's good, because a lot of us have that. Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
For somebody who has a long practice and has been doing this a long time, do the word formations, awareness, receiving, continue to, is that still present for you guys?
Well, I don't know what's present for
okay.
Their twisted minds. I can only respond about mine. Well, only Alexis has a twisted mind. The others are really...
It's almost...
driving you crazy?
Well, yeah. It's like, it's not jarring, but it's like awareness receiving is this like call and response thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like awareness receiving the words awareness response.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So let me tell you, that's so they could, I'm sure they couldn't hear you, and if I could remember. She's just talking about when she said awareness receiving it, we say her mind, she's been doing in the past a lot of noting practice, so her mind keeps saying awareness receiving, and it's a little bit driving her nuts. She wants to know if we keep saying awareness receiving or if it goes away. But then you said sometimes there's just a sense of not going to concept of body or subtle body, let the concepts go, but sometimes there's just a sense of, you just said like this, that not the mind saying awareness receiving, but just being aware, right? And other times the mind says it. So, no, you know, my mind doesn't say that most of the time. And most of us, we can get into, you know, little kind of like an earworm or like that, right? And the mind is saying, and then there's aversion to it, and then we don't like it. Notice that whole worm rather than that. And it's true, when we've had any particular kind of practice, noting is one where you're connecting with an object and labeling it, that habit doesn't just go away. I mean, I come from that too. So again, I wouldn't worry about it. But the thing to do, as with anything, is let just the knowing, you want to call it a weird knowing, all of that background, without going into content, like say, awareness receiving and an infinite regression, right? Don't let your attention try and land on each one. Let it get bigger and just feel kind of like the aversion or the irritation, and not going too much into the content of it. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And after a while, it can just be there, another word, it doesn't have to trigger. So it's more noticing the triggering. You know, that's what keeps it going, right? You'll forget about it, and then it won't be there, and then you'll think about it again, and right? So yeah, that's all it is. Okay, just to say about the schedule today, and thank you all for your reflections and questions, and thank you all for your practice. It's really been lovely being here with you all. It's lovely because we don't have to know what's in all of your minds, and you don't have to know what's in ours, and that's how we can all be here together. I'm sure you've noticed that there's a couple other things happening today, that there's no movement. So at 2:00, for the little Donna talk, but also the manager's course closing information, especially for that, please all come, even if you've done that a million times. You know, it's always a little bit different, the course closing information, and they slide into each other. So that's at 2:00. We're still in silence. And then after that, like a short period of break, like 10 minutes or so, then a bell will be rung. And then please come back, and this will be neighborhood of 3:00, you know, give or take. But a bell will be rung, and to come back for really it's instructions, but really some tips about bringing awareness into speech. And it's really, you know, really quite interesting. And then time until 5:00 to explore that. Not all here in the room, all talking at once kind of thing. But anyway, you hear about that at 3:00. But really, it's an intrinsic part of awareness practice. So please come at 3:00. And then there won't be silence until 5:00. But at 5:00, at the light dinner time, the tea time, the bell rings, please, please, please go back into silence for your own well-being and happiness. So you'll be reminded of that again. Oh, yes.
There will still be places of silence during that time. Right? The whole center is...
Oh, we didn't talk about it, actually. Okay. Well,
We'll set that up.
Yeah, okay, yeah. She'll describe it, but it's only 2 hours anyway. Then back into silence in the same schedule as usual for the evening. You know, and it's really... You learn so much on a retreat when we're really being aware with speaking and then coming back into the silence and really being aware of the effects. There's like talking and listening is so powerful energy. We do it so often without really recognizing how much it affects us and each other. So that's actually an important part of the practice. And Susa wanted me to say, she's been getting notes of...
I wanted to say
big one. I said that, yeah, for you. Samar, she said she would, put up a way, a mailing list to get the 18 movements. She's going to put that out. She's been getting notes about it. Don't worry. She'll put it out, information how to get it tomorrow. So relax. Observe. Allow. Craving for the movements feels like this. It's okay. Awareness doesn't care what it's aware of. That's really true. So really, enjoy exploring awareness today. It's a great opportunity. Anything I forgot?
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.